Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Pirates returns with some unexpected and welcome changes, summer annual passholder perks,
new Paint the Night float details, our favorite Disneyland music, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of June 13th, 2018. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Next week is our first patron guest discussion episode. We pulled a name out of the Mickey Ears hat on the show last week, and we'll be talking to Priscilla on the show. If you would like a chance to be a guest on the show, become a patron at DisneylandWeekly.com/support, and your name will be included in the next drawing. Now let's get to the news.
Hi there, all you wild animals. I'm Dumbo's friend Timothy, the top mouse here on the Casey Jr. Circus train. Me and Casey got a lot to show you. But before we get rolling, your trainer's gonna make sure you're all seated inside your cages and cars.
Now, Casey, let's get this show on the road. track. All aboard! All aboard!
All aboard! Let's go!
Junior's coming down the track, coming down the track with a smoky stack. Hear him puff and coming round the hill. Casey's here to thrill every Jack and Jill. Every time his funny little whistle sounds, everybody hurries through the circus grounds. Time for lemonade and cracker jack. Casey Junior's back, Casey Junior's back. Every time his funny little whistle sounds,
Pirates of the Caribbean returned this past Friday, and there are some notable changes. First, as expected, the auction scene has been updated to change the selling of wenches to selling of chickens after a ransack of the town with the new Pirate Red taking center stage. In addition to this change, the waterfall effect that was in the tunnel before the ship battle scene that included Davy Jones and Blackbeard has been removed, and near the same area, a pirate that has a neat effect that changes from a skeleton to a live person as your boat passes. He's accompanied by a new octopus. This is a nice change, back to the classic incarnation of this section of the attraction to offset the auction scene. I think this looks pretty cool. It's a very simple effect that I think makes a big difference.
I think so, too. And the thing we were actually discussing before the show is I had honestly had watched one or a couple, anyways, I don't remember how many, different videos of people going through the new version of the attraction. And I honestly did not notice the skeleton slash live pirate that they had added, because I got a little bit like Dory, and I got way too excited and distracted by the octopus, and I was really excited and happy for the new octopus. So I actually missed him. So I'm wondering how many people would do the same. Like, I mean, I noticed that there was something there, and in my peripheral, it was kind of like, oh, it's another skeleton. Oh, check out the octopus, you know, whatever. So I'm wondering, I don't know. I wonder how many people had the same reaction. So hopefully by us pointing this out on the podcast, you guys will make sure you take a little bit extra time and pay attention, because it is really neat when you watch it.
It is really neat. And one thing that I think is so cool about this is a lot of time, you know, as you're going through the attraction, there's a whole beginning, which is everything skeletons. And then you kind of have that big reveal to the pirate ship. Well, where did it go from skeleton to real life? So this kind of bridges that gap.
Yeah, there wasn't really a good transition, and this small little, I mean, it's really not that big of a thing that they added to it. You know, the skeleton slash live pirate effect is not really that big, but it definitely makes a big statement.
I totally agree.
Along with the return of the attraction, of course, new food has arrived for a limited time. Until June 18th at the Blue Bayou, a cursed pirate, pan-fried octopus and calamari with andouille sausage, rum-soaked pineapple, haricot vey and remoulade, chicken Betty's, Jidori free chicken range chicken with coconut rice, ham hock, mac chew, fried plantains, and a spiced rum glaze. Also, a red strawberry cake, a sponge cake soaked in strawberry compote syrup with candied strawberry, coconut chantilly, and diced pineapple sautéed in brown sugar and vanilla bean has debuted. All of these things are a mouthful and they sound delicious.
Yeah, you won't hear it on the podcast, but there's going to be quite the editing going on to get that all to work right because of all of the French terminology in there. And one thing that you might have the same question that we had, which is, isn't fried octopus and calamari the same thing? Well, the fried octopus looks more like it's like a pan fried, mm-hmm. and the calamari is more like you think breaded of it's like a battered.
Yeah, breaded and deep fried.
It looks pretty good. I don't know if I've even had andouille sausage before.
Ooh, it's good.
But but I like the idea. And the fact that they have this like fried octopus, it's literally like a tentacle. That could be interesting.
I would order this just for the rum-soaked pineapple.
That's true. And then, of course, with the red strawberry cake, I'm looking at this, and I know as good as I thought your dessert looked like at the Blue Bayou before, this looks amazing. Yeah. I mean, it just looks like a piece of art.
I mean, Blue Bayou, I mean, really, I don't think we're going to be disappointed. They seem to produce just spectacular food all the time. And everything that I've tried there has been amazing. So yeah. You know, I'm not really a big fan of octopus, but I'd maybe share this with somebody. The tentacle with the little sucker thing still on. I don't know if I could do that, but I'm a fan of calamari and I like andouille sausage. So I'd be all for this.
The only thing that I have to say that's a downside to this is that it ends June 18th. So it's kind of a sad that it's like really limited.
It is very limited, very short. But, you know, It might depend on how popular it is. I feel like this is a dish that's a little bit out of their norm. It's pretty, like, maybe it's a little risky because, I mean, maybe. Not very many people see octopus and go, ooh, yes, I want that, you know, chicken, steak, stuff like that. Yeah. Those are tried and true. Octopus might be a little iffy. So they may just be kind of testing the waters for this to see how it works.
I like that they test the waters on things.
For sure.
Well, the new float that's coming to the Paint the Night Parade has some new details released from Disney. This is going to be quite a mouthful, so stick with me here. So they include the dynamic and colorful new float connects The Incredibles and The Incredibles 2, picking up where the first film left off and portraying the scene that the show, the Parr family, banding together against the supervillain known as the Underminer. Violet Parr uses her superpowers to surround herself with a force field. It will come to life through a custom-built Persistence of Vision globe, the first and largest ever to be installed on a Disney parade float. Dash's superhuman speed is captured through an innovative system of 64 individually lit frames flashing as he races in circles around the float. That sounds kind of really interesting. Mr. Incredible and Mrs. Incredible, along with their pal Frozone, light up the night in new super suits. The suits have been installed and wired by hand and are fully programmable to be in sync with the music and the float lighting. The super suits, designed by eccentric fashion designer Edna Mode, are illuminated with nearly 100 sheets of flexible miniature LEDs. This is the first time these light-up suits will be worn by any Disney or Pixar character. The chest logos on the Incredibles' glowing super suits are made of 60 individually programmable LEDs.
I cannot wait to see what this float is going to look like. It just sounds better and better and just so amazing.
Well, you know, the Paint the Night Parade is already so advanced. Mm-hmm. The fact that this stuff, like a lot of these terms, and I'm a technical person, but like this force field, the custom-built Persistence of Vision globe, like I don't even know what that means. And these innovative 64 individually lit frames for Dash, like I don't know what that means, but I'm excited to see it.
I know. I'm like dumbfounded and like amazed and I just all sorts of things right now. It's just like, oh my gosh, what? I don't even know what to expect. That's what's so exciting about this. With the recent changes to the annual pass holder program being announced, Disney has added some perks for the summer. From June 11th to September 3rd, annual pass holders can purchase Friends tickets at a discounted rate. Tickets are valid only on the date purchased and are available at the Good Neighbor Hotels and the front entrance gate. Tickets purchased this way can provide a savings of up to 40% off of normal admission prices. I think this is really cool.
Yeah, I think after all the changes that are going on with blockout dates and whatnot, I think that this is good that they're kind of giving a little extra. Although, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
The thing that I kind of took away from it is I thought it was really cool because Disney actually announced this to their annual pass holders on June 5th, was it, I believe, which was actually the day that they announced it was actually National Best Friends Day. So I thought that was cool. But I think that this also just ties in with the overall theme of Pixar Fest, you know, friendship Friends. And that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to me that they're giving this kind of a discount. I don't know if they've really, have they done something like this before?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so either. So I think it's a neat perk, I guess, a neat added perk.
Well, that wasn't the only thing that Disneyland did for annual pass holders. So last week, Disneyland lifted some June blockout dates for two of their annual pass types. Everyone with a Southern California Select Pass receives 8 more days this month. You can now visit this week, Monday through Friday, June 11th through the 15th, and next Monday through Wednesday, June 18th through the 20th. Holders of the Legacy Southern California Passport are now able to visit June 15th, 16th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Deluxe annual pass holders can now visit this coming Saturday, June 16th, after which Saturday blockouts apply until August 18th. These 9 days will most likely be very popular with pass holders trying to squeeze in one more family visit before the regular blockout schedule resumes, or looking to take advantage of the Bring a Friend offer just announced. As currently scheduled, Southern California Select annual pass holders are blocked out June 19th through August 20th. Holders of the Legacy Southern California Passport are blocked out June 29th through August 20th. So it's nice that they kind of like freed it up here, which maybe did some goodwill for those pass holders that are going to have some limited stuff next June. Although I don't know if it makes a big difference because it's right before Pixar Pier opens. So I feel like a lot of pass holders are going to kind of hold off till Pixar Pier opens anyway. Mm-hmm. And this is all added dates before that. So who knows?
It'll be interesting. This week, Disney premiered their first commercial for the upcoming Pixar Pier. The commercial shows Pixar characters excited for the new expansion, mixed with some old footage from Midway Mania and the games of the boardwalk. The new experiences were shown off through computer animations. It was still a fun commercial, but it will be fun to see the revamped area in person later this month. What were your thoughts on the commercial?
I thought it was a fun commercial. I kind of liked like the vibe of it and the feel of it. The only thing that, like I said, you know, it was a little weird is, you know, they showed, you know, old footage of people from, because like it's obviously the old color scheme of stuff of Midway Mania and the games of the boardwalk. Most people aren't going to notice. And then all of the new attractions are computer animated, like stand-ins, which I get. It hasn't opened yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it gets the thought through. It shows a lot of the Pixar characters in there.
I do. I think for the general public, it really can help to build the excitement, because a lot of people actually probably, you know, if you're not that big of a Disneyland fan, you probably don't even know that this change is coming. For us Disneyland obsessed people, unfortunately for me, it was a little underwhelming, just because really it just showed off a lot of things that we already have seen and a lot of things that we already kind of knew were coming. So it wasn't anything new for me, but I can see how, like I said, for the non-obsessed Disney person, this might be really exciting.
Well, you bring up a good point. So do you think people are going to see this, think that there are brand new attractions,
they could,
and are going to show up and be like, oh, it's just a re-themed what was here before?
Well, no, I don't think that. I think it's going to build excitement to people that don't visit the parks very often, don't keep up with what's happening. I do think there's, yes, Midway Mania is going to remain the same, but there will be so many other new and exciting things happening in the area that it's not going to feel like the same old Midway Mania. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Especially with the Incredicoaster. I mean, yes, it's exactly the same thing, but what they're doing with that ride is making it a totally different experience. So a lot of people that could have, again, these are the non-Disney super fans, that know and love that ride and basically know every single turn and speed and drop and blah, 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 everything, you know, everything that was about that ride, they know it's the exact same thing. They're just excited for the enhancements and to see the enhancements. I could see how someone who's maybe only rode California Screamin' once in their life, and it was a long time ago, might actually believe that this is a brand new attraction.
Well, just before the opening of Pixar Pier, some of the area will be closed. Toy Story Midway Mania and the Midway Merchandise Store will be closed starting June 10th. The attraction will remain closed until June 22nd, according to the Disneyland website. The Midway Merchandise will reopen on the 20th. Knick Knacks and the new adorable snowman Frosted Treats will close June 18th through the 22nd, and will reopen June 23rd with Pixar Pier. Obviously, all of this is necessary to kind of get the final touches set up for the thing, so not bad, just a few days.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're there now, you can still get to these things and you can still get to these attractions, but you almost feel a little bit like you're walking maybe through a construction zone, because there's construction walls up everywhere. So it makes complete sense that they need a couple of days to kind of make sure everything's in tip-top shape for the grand opening. Disney Volunteers, a cast member volunteer group started in 1983, celebrated its 35th anniversary with a first ever global week of service from June 3rd to June 9th. Over the last 35 years, the group has volunteered more than 10 million hours, and just last year donated more than $348 million to various charities around the world.
That is a lot of hours and a lot of money.
That's incredible.
So that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. I'm glad that they celebrated the 35th anniversary and that they've been helping so many different charities and everything. So I don't. Well, you were saying you had never even heard of this.
Yeah. No, I honestly had not. Did not. I mean, I feel like it was kind of like a tickle in the back of my brain, but I did not really recognize the name Volunteers, which, I mean, come on.
Right.
Okay, so you guys can't see, but it's Volunteers and Ears, E-A-R-S, is the last part of it. So it's very, very well
Mickey
themed here.
Yep.
But I just think it's amazing that this is a thing and that it's this big organization.
You know what's silly? So my brain was on autopilot, and the first time I saw this story in our rundown for this week, Disney Volunteers, it reminded me because they have another service called Disney, like Deliver Ears. And so it's like you can call them and you can over the phone order parks merchandise through this service. So for some reason, like, my brain just saw the ears part and thought it was the same thing. And then I was like, volunteer group, what? Oh,
not the same
thing. So that was my silly,
yeah,
silliness.
So this was something that I wasn't really that aware of. So I think it's amazing that it's been around as long as it has. And it's just astonishing to me how many hours and how much money this group has been able to donate throughout the years. I think that's incredible.
Yeah, me too. Well, in the ongoing list of items that are must-haves, there is a new Cinderella bubble maker. The bubble maker looks like Cinderella's carriage and looks pretty cool. There's a huge selection of other bubble wands as well if Cinderella isn't your thing. So in the ongoing saga of new merchandise,
yes,
this is not Pixar-themed.
No, no. And, you know, this, I think it's really neat. I don't know. I'm probably just because I'm a kid at heart, but I really do enjoy being around children that have the bubble makers. It's just so much fun. It's such an interactive toy for them, mm-hmm. too. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they get a lot of use and stuff with it at the park. Maybe not so much once they get home. But it's just, to me, the bubbles around the park just totally add to the magic of Disneyland.
Who doesn't love bubbles?
Exactly. Hyperspace Mountain has wrapped up for now, and Space Mountain is back to its classic version, probably until Ghost Galaxy comes back this Halloween time. So I have been fortunate enough to actually experience all three of the different versions here. So I've obviously been on the original Space Mountain. I was just able to travel through hyperspace this last visit, and then I previously have been able to do the Ghost Galaxy version and layover too. They're really cool to me, and I'm glad I have mixed feelings, I guess, with the overlays. I don't know why I keep saying layovers. This isn't an airplane flight.
Right.
But anyways, I kind of have mixed feelings because I do always love the classic attraction, and I always do feel for maybe those people that are visiting the parks and maybe they don't get to visit the parks very often, and this is the one time that they get to experience Space Mountain. And it's Ghost Galaxy, and I have small children. They're gonna be terrified, so they're not probably going to be able to experience this attraction because it's just too scary for the little ones. And I actually heard mixed reviews about Hyperspace Mountain too. Some people felt that hyperspace was a little bit too much for young ones too, which I can understand because there are lasers kind of shooting off at you. It is more intense than just your regular old Space Mountain. But yeah. So Tag, which ones have you been able to experience?
I am so sheltered. I've literally only been on the original Space Mountain.
No. How have I been on all three and you've only been on the one? Wow.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
I was going to say, did I finally out-Disneyland you?
I might have been on Ghost Galaxy. I think I've been on Ghost Galaxy. Because when James and I went there, they had all the Halloween time stuff up, so I had to have been there for Ghost Galaxy.
Well, Ghost Galaxy is...
This was only a couple years ago. Ghost Galaxy's been around
longer. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not super long, like it hasn't always been there. It's not like the Haunted Mansion holiday overlay.
I guess
that's
it just didn't leave a strong impression with me.
Really, the fiery burning skull chasing you all around didn't leave.
I guess okay. I guess there was other Halloween stuff that I sure. think I enjoyed more.
See, I guess for me, Ghost Galaxy left a deep impression for me because it didn't feel very Disney-like to me.
Right.
It was very, very scary, very like haunted house, creepy. Yeah. Just freaky feeling. And Disney usually, well, they kind of soften everything and they make it Disney. You know, it's still quote-unquote scary, but it's not terrifying, I guess.
Right. The preview for Ant-Man and the Wasp has premiered in the Tomorrowland Theater, displacing the Path of the Jedi movie that has been playing in there for quite some time now. Not a huge loss, but it's a good thing to see something else in its place. I'm just glad that they're using it for something else. I think pretty much the vibe that I've seen from people online is that the Path of the Jedi has way overstayed its welcome and was good to move to something else.
Sure.
And again, with the loss of the A Tough to Be a Bug Theater to be able to do these type of things, it's another good location for that. Overall, I think that it would be nice to reclaim that space for some type of other attraction that's going to be more popular.
Yeah.
But at least they're doing something different.
Well, you know, the other thing that I kind of thought with this, too, is I'm kind of glad that they're backing some of the Star Wars theming out of Tomorrowland, because we are coming up on having a whole area dedicated to Star Wars. So I feel like right now, to me, Tomorrowland feels very much overrun by Toy Story, which is Pixar, and by Star Wars.
Yeah.
And now that we're getting two dedicated areas to those two things, I think I'm hoping that we'll get kind of maybe a revamp of Tomorrowland, and it can get away from having so much of the same intellectual properties inside of it. So to me, I'm glad that they're moving Path of the Jedi out just to make way for something different and something new, since there's a lot of it.
Yep.
The Mickey and Friends parking structure's new sibling has started to go vertical. The rebar for the support columns has started to be installed. Quick work on this project should be happening now until completion, hopefully before Star Wars Galaxy's Edge next summer.
They're making quick work on this.
Please don't go too quick, though. It is a parking structure.
Yeah. In California with earthquakes.
Yeah, right?
Well, it's good to see that it's coming. Well, this week for our discussion topic, we're going to do something a little bit different. We've gotten kind of mixed feedback on some of our musical interlude in the beginning being too long, that kind of thing. Most of you seem to like it, so I think we're going to leave it how it is. But we thought this would be a good conversation topic. Let's pick like our top five songs that we like from the Disneyland Resort, or music from the Disneyland Resort, and talk about like why we like it, if we know any history about it, that kind of thing. And at the same time, what we're going to do is, the way this segment's going to work this time, just so you're kind of all aware, is Teresa and I will talk about our top five. We will name the song. I will play a little section of the song without us talking over it. And then I'll fade and just have the music playing in the background as we talk about it. And then as we move on to the next song, same thing, same thing, same thing, until we're through everything. So we picked our top five. There was some overlap between Teresa and myself.
Go figure.
Yeah, so there was a couple that were the same or similar. So I actually ended up picking a couple different versions of things, which is fine. And there's plenty of music at the Disneyland Resort.
Well, and the hard thing, I think, for both Tag and I is really maybe between the two of us, there might be a handful of things that we dislike music-wise around the resort. Not hate, not loathe, but just things that don't excite us as much. So it was really hard, I think, to try and narrow down what to talk about.
All right, so we're going to kind of go back and forth. So I'll let Teresa start. She'll pick her number one, and she could talk. So she'll name what it is, and we'll play a little bit of it, and then we'll kind of talk about why she picked that, and let's talk a little bit about it. So what is on your list?
So I have to go in order? Like, I have to rank them now, too?
You don't have
to.
You can just pick one.
Man, I was going to say, it was hard enough to limit it to five. Now I have to rank them. Okay, so I'm just going to go in the order that we listed them on here. All right, so my first one that I have on my list here, we're not going to go in any specific order, is music from the Haunted Mansion, specifically Grim Grinning Ghosts.
Happy haunts materialize. Socialize. Now don't close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side.
Shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
All right, so the whole feel of the Haunted Mansion with the music, I think, is done really nicely, because you kind of start out just like the attraction. You kind of start out, you're not really sure what's going on. It's kind of creepy. It's kind of eerie. You've got the creaking doors, you know, just kind of this eerie feel to it. And then as you kind of go through the attraction, the music gets lighter. It gets more upbeat, more peppy, until you get to the, in my opinion, the grand finale, which is the scene at the end where you're going through the
Graveyard.
Graveyard. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. When you're going through the graveyard and all of the happy haunts are singing along to Grim Grinning Ghosts. Really, for me, I love this song as the original, and I also really like the Dapper Dan's version that they have performed during some of the different Halloween activities at the resort.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Dapper Dan's do a great job with a lot of this type of stuff. And just in general, I'm with you. If you had not picked the Haunted Mansion, I would have put the Haunted Mansion on my list, because it is great mood setting. You're totally right. You just start, like, you're getting in the, you know, you get in the stretching room, and, you know, you've got the ghost host. I love the ghost host. And then it just kind of, like, moves you through the attraction. Even all the safety spiel and everything is all themed very well.
It's awesome. Just awesome. So a little couple of facts, since you guys know I'm all about facts. So Grim Grinning Ghosts was actually composed by Buddy Baker, and the lyrics were actually written by someone else. That person's name was
Xanticio.
Yes, Xanticio, I was going to say. I'm just not doing so well with naming things and being able to pronounce it.
Well, Xanticio is really well known for this attraction because, like, well, and he did a lot of different stuff for Disneyland back in the early days. So, plus, he has a cool name, Xanticio.
Right?
So, yeah. And then, of course, you know, we've got Paul Frees, who some of you may know as the Ghost Host, and some of you may know as Tony the Tiger. With They're great. I'm with you. I love the music from this attraction. I think it's a classic that I think almost was probably on everybody's list.
You know, this is also on just like my Halloween playlist, staple for my Halloween playlist.
Sure. Well, I guess I will stick kind of along the same theme. So because I could not pick Haunted Mansion, I did remember that I absolutely love Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Our holiday tale is a tale that's quite charming. But during this season, it's sometimes alarming. So relax and reflect. Feel free to take pause while we tell you a tale about dear Sandy Claus. The nightmare before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was peaceful, not even a mouse. The stockings all hung by the chimney with care, when opened that morning would cause such a scare. The children nestled all snug in their beds would have nightmares of monsters and skeleton heads.
Happy holidays, everyone!
So I love Haunted Mansion Holiday because, honestly, so I listen to the Haunted Mansion Holiday, I go on the attraction, I listen to the soundtrack, and then when I watch the actual movie, Nightmare Before Christmas, I actually prefer the narrator of the attraction's voice compared to the narrator in the movie's voice, because they are different.
Yeah.
I just love it so much better. And then I love all of the different added stuff that they do for this attraction during the holidays, too, like with all the, you know, the designs of, like, stained glass and whatnot in the stretching room and whatnot. And, you know, Zero.
Yep, Zero. And then you've got the, don't you have things swapped out in Madame Leota's?
Oh, yeah, you got cards and music.
It's just amazing to me how much they swap out and it's like a totally new attraction.
That hill with the little swirly things with all the
hill, that amazing Jack animatronic and the Sally animatronic that they've added to the graveyard scene they're just spectacular.
So one of the things, I know we're talking about the music, but one thing that I see here in the history for Haunted Mansion Holiday is that one issue that Disney had to figure out when they wanted to do the Haunted Mansion was that many of the people who did the original attraction that they could change around to be like a Christmas version, Paul Frees, like we talked about, Leota Toombs, who did the voice for Madame Leota, Eleanor Audley, and most of the singing busts, and all the original voice actors had died before they decided to do this. So unfortunately, if they were going to make a version for the holidays, they had to do something different. So they decided to go along the lines of The Nightmare Before Christmas, which I think has been extremely popular. I just love it. So hopefully you guys like that too. Some of that's playing in the background, and we played a little clip of it earlier. So I just really enjoy it. I like the voice of Jack Skellington in it too. And I like that every year, like, they change out things in the attraction and that they add little things here and there. It seems like they always seem to be plussing it. So it's definitely one of those overlays that I hope that they don't remove. And a good chunk of it is for the soundtrack. And I will say, so you picked Grim Grinning Ghosts as your favorite musical section. My favorite section is actually the stretching room.
Really?
Because I love the... "'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house." I love that because it's just, it does that scene in that attraction justice, I think.
You think that the thing that I really like about that too is it's a great introduction for what you're about to see in the Haunted Mansion, because Haunted Mansion Holiday, I should say, because if you're going on this attraction and you, Haunted Mansion Holiday, like, you might not really know what the difference is, because a lot of the other overlays aren't huge.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a difference.
They've added Christmas lights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not a massive, massive difference. You don't feel like you're on a different attraction, but this, it already, like, the bat, it, as soon as you get in there, you're like, well, this is new. Like, it's in the words of Jack, what's this?
Right. I think you could literally could build a second mansion and leave it Haunted Mansion Holiday, and I think people would be just as popular.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So what's your second one?
All right, so we're just going to kind of move on down the area. I'm going to go on over to Crater Country and hop on Splash Mountain. How do you do? Mighty pleasant greeting. How do you do? Say it when you meet me. How do you do? With everyone repeating, pretty good shows you won. Be sure to come down. A penny lost is a penny found. How do you do? And you howdy back. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. How do you do? Fine, how are you? How you come on? Pretty good shirt you want. Stop jumping around, you'll run out of breath. Why don't you sit back and calm yourself? You can carry on now if you must. We'll do what we like, cause that suits us. How do you do? Mighty pleasant greeting. Pretty good show as you're born. Pretty good show as you're born. How do you do? Mighty pleasant greeting. How do you do? Say when you're meeting. So I couldn't pick, so it is kind of a Splash Mountain. I'm just going to call it a melody because there are technically multiple songs to the attraction, but I just love every one of them. So we're going to talk about all of them.
Who doesn't like Zippity Doodah?
Right? So, I mean, I'm that dork that's like literally dancing in my log fume during the entire thing, having a blast. I think the thing that I love the most about the music for Splash Mountain is you cannot be in a bad mood after listening to this and while listening to it. It's just so uplifting and just so happy. So the different sections of it, I guess.
Sure.
All of them kind of feature like a jazzy feel, big band, which I think is actually very fitting to it being right next to New Orleans, but it's just kind of this big feel to it.
Yeah.
So let's see, we'll talk about we've got How Do You Do, which this was actually recorded specifically for the ride back in 1998 by a group called the Floozies, which was a 29-piece band actually from Oregon. Next area is we're going to talk about two in the same. It's Everybody Has a Laughing Place, along with Burroughs' Lament. Both of these songs are actually sung by the same three sisters. Their names are Eliza, Georgia, and Castell Newton. And they were actually all from California, and they actually all worked for the Walt Disney Company at the time of the ride's construction. So Castell and Eliza are actually the ones that are singing the words during the Burroughs' Lament. So as you guys kind of remember, this is the section right before you go up the... I don't even know what you want to call it, up the thing to then go down the drop.
Sure.
Up the ramp, I guess. I don't know. So the two sisters are the ones that are actually singing the words, while Georgia is the one that's kind of doing that high, almost operatica feeling in the background. And then, yes, how could I possibly forget Zippity Doodah? To me, most people probably don't know that these other songs are really there. They're there, but they're not. They don't stick with you as long as Zippity Doodah. So an interesting thing I learned about Zippity Doodah was it was actually recorded with a choir consisting of over 75 cast members.
Oh, that's cool.
I think that's just such a cool little neat tidbit about that. I would have never known that.
The part of Splash Mountain, because I like the Splash Mountain melody as well.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part, and I love this type of music, like a haunting kind of music, is the Burroughs Lament part. And it's what you were talking about right before before you go up the big drop.
Yep.
Is I love that she's singing it, and I've got the lyrics in front of me because I love it, because she says,
"Don't you go to the laughing place, for the fox will get you too. Stay away from the laughing place. You must be
It's very like ominous, but at the same time like high energy and like
I just love the feel that like you as a person experience the attraction as you're going through this part, because it's all been fun and light and just a good time, then all of a sudden you get to this section and it's kind of like, what just happened? Like what wait a minute, like what's it? It's a great kind of, it gets you into a really good mental state before you then go up the ramp. I don't know what it's called. Someone's going to call it
the
a
lift
ramp.
Hill.
Go up the hill to then go down the big fun.
Well, then, of course, like
awesome
you said,
drop.
You escape and then suddenly you're zippity-doo-dah and everything's back to fun again.
I just love, I mean, and this is just a general thing. I feel like I'm going to keep saying this throughout our discussion today. I just love how well Disneyland and Disney, everybody was responsible for this, whoever was responsible for each specific attraction, did such an amazing job transporting you with all of the music that they composed and chose to put into these attractions. It's just amazing.
Oh yeah, the music like really is definitely a huge starring role for all of these.
Could you imagine going on either the Haunted Mansion or Splash Mountain without any music or sound? It just wouldn't be the same.
Well, it would feel like when you go to like the carnival and you go on like the haunted house, because a lot of times you're going through and it's silent and then all of a sudden it's like you know, you don't get a lot of that. It definitely sets the mood. And and that goes back to Walt Disney with Disneyland, that like, you know, he's a movie maker, and in movies the way that you feel anxious is they play anxious music.
That's
which
true.
Gets you feeling anxious. So not only what you're seeing, but it's what you're hearing, and I think that's really important. So as we hit the roadblock of Critter Country back there, we got to turn around and start coming back. And of course, me being me, I could not leave this list without having, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, oh, no, oh, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, be hearty, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Bring up, be hearty, yo ho. Yo ho.
So one thing I love about Pirates of the Caribbean is there are so many little things in this soundtrack that I just love. For a long time, I don't know if you knew this, Teresa, for a long time, my voicemail message was the whole thing that the skeleton says as you pull up, like, psh, fast there. Oh, it's be too late to alter course now, and all this stuff. Like, I had that as my voicemail, which was really annoying because it was like a whole almost minute long. So to leave a voicemail, you had to like wait through all of that. But love that part. I love the fact that, again, it's just like the Haunted Mansion. It transports you because you go down the waterfall, and then you kind of have like the echoing sound of like the dead man, you know, and echoing. And then as you go through, it's the piano, you know, the broken like piano in the captain's quarters. And then you've got the guy talking to you again. And then, of course, past the new scene we talked about earlier. Then you're in the midst of a pirate battle, and then there's all that music, and then of course it ends with, a pirate's life for me. Which, of course, you know, you got little kids and stuff. You don't want them to be like terrified by what's going on, so you have them have a fun little jig at the end. And who doesn't love that?
Well, and really, each time that I've experienced that attraction, most of the people in my boat end up singing along with "Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me." It's just very catchy, but in a good way.
So that one was also by George Bruns and Xavier Antencio. So this is definitely the like awesome part of Disney time frame.
Yes.
And of course, I don't think there's anybody on the planet that doesn't know "Yo-ho, a pirate's life for me" at some point. So what's your next one? I think you should pick the one that also is in that area again before we leave this particular section of the park.
All right. So we're going to, since we're still coming back from that area of the park, and it's actually, I guess, right next door. Yeah, next door to Pirates. My next one, which I feel like this is probably one that most people don't think about, but is Tarzan's Treehouse. I don't know, the energizing drum beat and just kind of this like jungle primitive feel that you get from this music, I think is just great for this attraction. But I love that you can just kind of hear this funky drum beat just when you're close to the entrance for Tarzan's Treehouse. I don't know how many times I have actually been walking and either I myself or I see somebody else has to stop out to like do a little dance break to the music. It's just so like, I don't know, it's just so energizing and just so, like I said, it's just kind of got this like primitive, almost funky feel to it.
Well, it does make you kind of want to, because you have to walk a lot of stairs. It does kind of energize you to walk those stairs and not really like care about it.
And I don't know what specific instruments they used to do this, but I just love them. Whatever they used to go with, I'm thinking about the You'll Be in My Heart melody that's part of it. I don't know if it's some sort of flute or what they've got going, but I just love the sounds of the instruments they chose for it. It's not really your traditional, your typical instrument. So it's just that much more like mysterious.
Tribal.
Yeah, it's just that much more mysterious and exciting. So, of course, Phil Collins is who we have to thank for the music. But the thing that I just find so awesome about this, too, is if you stand there and if you just either stand at the entrance or if you spend a long bit of time actually exploring Tarzan's Treehouse, this loop is endless and it is seamless. It's awesome. You can't tell if you're listening to the beginning, the middle, or the end. It just keeps going.
So if you spend hours just sitting there listening through the whole loop?
Yeah, and they actually specifically designed it that way so that there wasn't really an obvious beginning, middle, or end. They designed it to be seamless, and I think that's so cool. And it's just so beautifully done. The other things that I think are neat is it's the same kind of theming and feel throughout when you walk through the attraction, but depending on what scene you're looking at, since they've got those, those statues, I guess, throughout the treehouse that are kind of telling the story of Tarzan, is they kind of each have their own feel, like this extra theming and extra feel over that music. So when you go to the area that's got the
Jaguar.
The jaguar, the villain of the story. It's very kind of tense. And then you kind of go to where the mama gorilla is with baby Tarzan. It's just this very soft and light. And it's, I don't know. I think it's really interesting because you don't really notice it as you're doing it. But obviously, the same music is playing the entire time. But as you kind of walk into these zones or walk into these areas, the music gives you a different feel.
You know, it's funny because I obviously have not been at Disneyland for a couple years. But I have that in my head. You're describing this, and I'm remembering, because as you drive around as you walk around through the attraction, there is that change. And I can hear it in my head, that tribal drums. I can hear that in my head because it kind of travels a little bit through Adventureland. You can kind of hear it, like, because it's, you know, elevated up and mm-hmm. everything. You kind of vaguely hear it from a lot of the areas. So.
It's very cool.
That's interesting that you put that as one of your top ones, though. I thought that was interesting because I was like, Tarzan's Treehouse, really? But now that you've explained it, that's kind of interesting. Well, why don't you go ahead and name your next one? Because, again, if we're kind of trying to travel around, I feel like that your other one is a close one.
Okay.
To that.
So Tag and I both agreed on this. And actually, we kind of agreed on this one for different reasons, which was perfect. But the next area we're going to talk about is just the music of Main Street. All right, so for me specifically, the part that I like most about the Main Street music, or the theme or the tune that I really, really enjoy, is of course Married Life from Disney Pixar's Up. And so, I don't know, every time, it's just such a sweet, sweet melody. And it's very sweet, very sad at the same time, but it also just kind of gives you, it's very uplifting. And I don't know, another one that just kind of makes me want to dance and makes me want to grab Vern and kind of waltz my way down Main Street. It's just very, I don't know, just magical feeling for me.
Yeah, there's definitely something about Main Street when I walk in the park that really sets the stage for the whole park for me. And so, you know, I always, and what's weird is I feel like every time I get there in the morning, I feel like I end up there around the same type of, like, the same part of the track.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's certain songs, because I have from the 50th anniversary disc, like, the whole loop of Main Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you go through that, there's a lot of songs I've never heard when I've been in the park, but there's a couple that, like, I'm like, it immediately brings me back to walking down Main Street, to going to the food cart and getting my watermelon like we've talked about, or, you know, eating at the Carnation Cafe, or just people watching, waiting for a parade or something. So there's definitely some music there that is awesome, and I just kind of love it because it really blends with the background, but kind of gives you a feel. Like, you can still talk over it and have a conversation, but it's there. Like, it's part of the character of the whole area. And I know a lot of the different lands around Disneyland have music that play through them all the time that's just kind of generic to the land, but Main Street just seems to really stand out to me, and it gives me that feeling when I walk down Main Street that I'm back, like I'm home, you know. It's kind of weird, but definitely. And of course, you know, they update it sometimes, you know, and add different tracks and stuff, but the ones that I remember seem to have been there for quite a few years now. Well, after we left Main Street, let's go all the way to the back of the park for this next one. And I picked another seasonal classic. So I did not pick It's a Small World, because I know a lot of people don't really like It's a Small World. And it's okay. Like, I don't mind the It's a Small World music, because, like, a lot of people don't like it because it gets stuck in their head, and that's kind of the thing that they don't like. But I actually really like the It's a Small World holiday music. Because I like Christmas music anyway, it also incorporates the It's a Small World track in there, and it sings Jingle Bells in like a jillion different languages. So funny story about this one. We actually got stuck on the attraction one time during the It's a Small World holiday. And the loop just goes and goes. And it does kind of get stuck in your head. But I just think that It's a Small World in the original, you know, is very, like, the message there is really awesome. That, like, we're all connected and, like, you know, we all share this world and we should all be friends and everything together. And I really like that message. And It's a Small World holiday, I feel like, adds that, too. Because they do Jingle Bells and all that stuff. And they do it in different languages. And I just feel like it really takes that feeling. And when do you get that feeling the most? Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And so adding those two things together, I think, is great. So yeah, I like It's a Small World holiday. Have you ever been? You've been there with It's a Small World holiday,
haven't
you?
I have not.
No. Really? Mm-mm. Wow. I think you'd like it. And I know you have said that Vern doesn't really like the regular It's a Small World.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd mind this one as much, to be honest. You
we'll
seem to
out.
Have that look of like, I'm pretty sure he
every
would.
Every time I bring up, or we even happen to be walking near the area of It's Small World, he just cringes. It is not his favorite attraction at all. So I don't know if a holiday overlay would be enough to kind of soften the blow.
Yeah.
He will go on it because he's definitely one of those don't knock it till you rock it kind of personalities.
Right.
So with it being a different take on the same ride, he would be willing to experience it at least once, and then he can go ahead and make whatever judgments or whatever you want to call it about the ride.
Well, in addition to the music, I will tell you this, since you have not ridden it. Do you like Christmas lights?
Yes.
You will love It's a Small World holiday because not only is the entire facade Christmas lights up and looks gorgeous at night, but imagine all of those Christmas lights also all over the attraction inside. They have Christmas lights everywhere.
Wow.
It is like Christmas threw up in there. And then because it's a small world, they have different customs for the holidays from each of the countries in each of the country
that's
areas.
Really cool.
So really, really adds that. So it's really nice. Well, since you got two in a row, I'm going to take my second one now so
totally
we can start
fine.
This. So now our last ones that we got are going to be either parades or nighttime spectaculars. So the one that I picked that I can't believe that, like, I had something else listed here. And then I remembered. I'm like, no, how could I not put that in there? I picked the Paint the Night Parade. Now, one thing I love about this parade is the energy. I was a little worried because before I saw this parade for the 60th anniversary, I had seen the soundtrack somewhere online. Somebody had posted it, and I listened to it. And I was really concerned because it was like a contemporary, you know, it was like a known band performing it that was like kind of hip and modern now. And I was like, well, is this going to have the timelessness of some of the other nighttime spectaculars or parades in this case? And I wasn't sure, but I'll tell you what, I think we've talked about this on the show before too. Every single time James and I saw this parade happening by, we stopped and watched it. And what caught us was the music. It's a gorgeous parade in and of itself, but the music is just catchy. And for me, it adds a little bit of the Electrical Parade, which is a timeless classic in my mind, in with the Paint the Night soundtrack. And of course, that the song that's in there comes from Wreck-It Ralph. That's where that song originally came from. But, like, it was awesome. I just think it's a beautiful piece of music. It doesn't get annoying that it repeats over and over.
Right.
Like, for instance, A Christmas Fantasy Parade, that repeats over and over. And it's just the segment they repeat over and over is not long enough. So you get Christmas Fantasy, like, oh, and you, like, you can tell when you're watching it, oh, this is, like, the 30th time I've heard this loop. So, but Paint the Night, I don't get that feeling. I think there's enough variation with the floats and everything that you don't get that.
That's good.
So, what did you think? You saw the Paint the Night.
Yeah, the thing that I really, really appreciated being a Disney nerd is the fact that they did do a very, I thought they did a really nice job of kind of paying homage to what it replaced, which really was the Main Street Electrical Parade. Yeah. So, and I've always, and I still will always love the kind of, I don't know, electric feeling that the soundtrack for Main Street Electrical Parade
The Baroque Hoedown.
I just love that. It's a very unique sound. So I love that they were able to kind of weave some of that in to the new parade.
I agree.
All right, so my next one, this is like my number one must-have, must-do every single time. So I guess if we're going to have to list what our number one is, this is my number one. Fantasmic. As you guys probably have figured out, Tag and I for sure, and I know Tag does too, but we really, really love the music of Fantasmic.
Oh, yeah.
Hence why you guys get to hear it every single week when you tune in to listen to us. It is part of our, it's one of the only, one of the few things that actually is the same each week when you listen as far as what music we choose, just because it's just so energizing. It's just so, it just, again, just pumps you up, kind of gets you ready, and you're just like, woo. Let's, you know, what's coming up? What's happening? So for me, really the beginning is the part of Fantasmic that I like the most. Again, though, I like how the entire, 20 plus minute song does kind of take you on this journey. And so you kind of have these slow, sweet areas. You've got these kind of intense, almost scary and just kind of shocking areas of it. But really the beginning and the end pieces for me with the fanfare sound. Mm-hmm. Is really very iconic and that's my favorite part.
You know what's amazing to me is I am not very musically inclined. Like, I could not probably play music very well or anything. But the fact that there are musical composers that can take a bunch of existing music pieces, which is what Fantasmic is, and blend them together in such a way that doesn't sound awkward. Because like
you
said...
they're just seamless.
Yeah. Like you said, there's the beginning, which is very... you know, dun 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 dun, you know, very like energetic, and then it goes into, you know, that kind of
sweet,
you know,
and low.
Yeah, and then can pop out of that again, and then of course, you know, at the end when the villains come out and it changes into like kind of a dark, you know, when the queen
menacing.
Comes out and menacing, you know, and just all of that. The only part from the original show, and I think it's like this in the new show too, is the only part where there's kind of a break in the music. Is when the ship comes out, because there's that kind of Mickey, you know, Jiminy trying to get, or Mickey, you know, in the water and says, you know, hold on there or whatever. And then like there's a break, and then the cannon goes off, and there's that kind of break. Is that still...
to me? Technically yes, there's a break, but you don't feel like it's a break.
Yeah.
Like, well, wait a minute, like, is it done? You know, it doesn't feel like that at all. It's the one track stops to have, you know, the one portion stops. Kind of a cold stop to then, boom, here's the cannon, which is just a great, again, we're a little bit off topic, but the cannon firing sound is just such a great entrance
for
the pirate ship.
Totally.
So the Disneyland production, which was the original production of Fantasmic, the score was actually composed and arranged by Bruce Healy. So thank you, Bruce, for creating such an iconic piece of Disneyland music for us.
Yes, and that whole... So, did you know... You probably did know, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So in the beginning, they used the word imagination a lot. Mm-hmm. Did you know that before it was Fantasmic, the show was actually going to be called Imagination, which is why it says imagination so much in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was something that happened along that time where they couldn't use the word imagination and they couldn't get a copyright or something for it. So they ended up going with Fantasmic, and Fantasmic only happens, is only said one time by the villains
mm-hmm.
when she says, a nightmare Fantasmic. So love Fantasmic. It is truly a classic that if they ever get rid of it, is going to be a shame and there will be rioting in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Seriously now, twice. I have extended my vacation to the Disneyland Resort just so that I could make sure that I was able to be there on a night that Fantasmic was going to be performed.
Well, yeah.
Twice.
I mean, you have to.
I know. It's like, it's not even an option. And the best part is we did it the first time and Vern was like, we're not even going to be there for the whole day. Why are you buying tickets for us? Because Fantasmic. I mean, because Fantasmic.
Did he agree that it was worth it?
So, yes. So that was, obviously, that was the first time that he had experienced it. So this last time that we were there, I told him, we have to be in the park Friday night. We have to, at the very least, because we were, with our work schedules, it wasn't really looking like Friday was going to be an option for us to be in the park. But then when I found out that that was the only night that I could possibly see Fantasmic this last trip, I just said to Vern, I said, Vern, we have to be there we have to be at the parks Friday. And he's like, well, why? And all I said was Fantasmic. And he's like, oh yeah, no, you're right. Let me get my schedule switched around at work. So he's totally on the Fantasmic boat too.
Yeah, well, the fact that we could do a whole episode on Fantasmic.
Yeah.
Let's get to the last song I have on my list. So this one will always, I think, hold a special place in my heart because we love Disneyland. And I think that there is no other single thing that has celebrated the magic of Disneyland as a park, as a place, so much as, remember, dreams come true.
Good evening. This is Julie Andrews. Once upon a time, there was a magic kingdom made of hopes and childhood fantasies. A timeless place where every land was filled with wonder. A place where everyone who entered its gates would be given the gift of the young at heart. The power to wish upon a star and unlock its magic. To wish upon a star? Then it's time to open your heart and remember, dreams come true.
Starlight, star bright.
Of course, Remember Dreams Come True was the fireworks spectacular that premiered with the 50th anniversary of the Disneyland Resort. And I just remember thinking, I heard concepts of what the show was going to be like before it premiered, and I thought, how is this going to happen? And then it was just amazing.
And then it did.
And again, the music, it's just like with Fantasmic. They've blended so many feelings of music and from all of the different areas of the park. Obviously, there's the beginning, which is kind of like a lot of the themes from Wishes, and you work in, you know, Walt Disney talking about the dedication to Disneyland and all of this stuff in the beginning that really gets you going, and Tinkerbell comes out and everything, and then it stops, and then you hear the train on Main Street, and it just goes into Main Street music, which is awesome, and then it goes to, you know, it's called E-Tickets in the Sky, so it goes to all the different iconic attractions in the park, and you get little pieces of all of these things, Haunted Mansion that we've already talked about, Pirates of the Caribbean we've already talked about. It's a small world. Like, all of these little things are in this. And then, again, it finishes up, again, with some wishes. It's the best fireworks spectacular I think Disney has ever done, will ever do, period, in my opinion. This is the end-all, be-all. This ticks every box for me for a Disneyland fireworks spectacular, and I just don't know if they will ever, in my mind, for me, make something that I love as much as Remember Dreams Come True. What do you think? Did you ever see it, Remember Dreams Come True?
I don't think so.
Really?
I'm going to have to go back and look at, like, when it was playing, because if I would have seen it, it would have been in my younger years, so I was not as
up with it
as far as Disneyland stuff went, so I wouldn't have known what the nighttime fireworks show name was. So I'll have to do some research. I'll have to look into that and figure out.
Well, it opened on May 5th, 2005, and it stopped playing.
Then yes, I have.
November 2nd, 2014.
Then yes, I have. Yep, okay. I have.
You
know what? Actually, we're going to... That was one of the... I'm going to have to rewatch it because honestly, I can almost like... I seriously, now that we're talking about that, thank you for giving me the time frame of when it was going on.
Sure.
Because honestly, that like transported me back to that specific vacation. So now I really want to watch a recording of it to like really like get my memory juices flowing there.
It's the best.
You know, something that I wanted to mention, I know that we didn't really pre-plan to discuss this, but something that I am looking forward to with music in the parks is Coco.
Remember me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me, don't let it make you cry. For even if I'm far away, I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me, though I have to travel far. Remember me, each time you hear a sad guitar. Know that I'm with you the only way that I can be, until you're in my arms again. Remember me.
Oh yeah.
Any of the music from Coco, to me, it was just amazing. So, like I said, when I was there a couple weeks ago, they were kind of flirting with, I guess, the idea of bringing Coco music into the parks. Obviously, during the nighttime spectacular, they did have that section dedicated to Coco. And the three nights that I was able to be in Disneyland to watch the nighttime spectacular, I, again, watched it from three different areas of the park because I purposely wanted to get the different viewpoints and experience it in different ways each time I was there. Didn't matter if I was at the Fantasmic stage watching it on the water screen, if I was in the middle of Main Street that had all of the giant, I guess, puppets or figures, all the ancestors up on the buildings, or if I was right in front of the castle. That was the song that just riled the entire crowd up, and this, you could just feel the energy lift each time they went into the Coco section. And the thing that was amazing is each time, huge applause in the middle of the fireworks show right after that song had kind of closed and finished. Huge applause. The other time too is one of the times we were over in California Adventure, we were in the wharf, that kind of dining area over there, and they have a mariachi band that plays during the lunchtime, I guess lunchtime rushes or whatever, and they were playing all these songs and they were nice and they were good. And then Coco happened. I don't even remember what song specifically they played. I don't remember if it was Mi Familia or what. But anyways, they played a Coco song.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, people got up from their chairs. They started dancing. There was a crowd around the mariachis themselves that were performing. Because they don't have mics. They're just singing and doing their mariachi thing. And just, again, the energy. You could just feel the energy, like, just lift. That was the only song that they got, those poor mariachis got any applause for, was Coco. So,
we
need more Coco in our lives, Disneyland.
Yeah, I think that when we were discussing this with Vern, like I believe last week or whenever you guys were showing pictures of it, that Southern California has a huge Hispanic population and Coco is really celebrating Hispanic culture. So when you put those two things together, I think people, and Vern said this too, is it's finally something that represents them and their culture and they can relate to it more, so they're cheering about it because, like, finally Disneyland has something, or the Disney parks have something for me that's not just, you know, something from a princess or whatever that, like, nobody can really relate to very well.
Well, and all of the music from that movie,
it's great.
I bought and I downloaded the soundtrack. Is just amazing. It's really unlike anything that we've heard before. It's not the same old, that's just kind of, I don't know, tailored specifically to this movie or that. It's a brand new sound. And the thing that's just great about the music just in general, again, it's just very uplifting. It gives you kind of almost the sense of community, even with the strangers that you're standing around with. And it's just, you know, kind of just brings everyone together, which I just think is amazing. So yes, more Coco, please. In Disneyland.
They should just do a whole Coco fireworks spectacular.
Oh, could you imagine? The other thing I was going to say that I would really love is if they could somehow incorporate a Coco-themed attraction somewhere. I would not get off. I would just keep going. Just keep riding.
They could fit in Frontierland.
Oh, well, I would love it.
Yeah. Well, we talked about our favorites. What are some of your favorite attraction music or music from the Disneyland Resort? There's so many options. What are yours? Let us know. Contact us on Twitter, Facebook, send us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com. Let us know, and maybe next week we can read some of the music that you guys like and maybe explain, you know, why you like that particular piece of music, because, you know, you might touch on some stuff that we just didn't even think about when we were trying to get this segment ready. So I'm interested to see what you guys like and what your favorite pieces of music are.
As we wrap up, we want to thank all of you for listening each and every week. If you like what you're hearing and want to support this podcast, you can help us out by becoming a patron. Our patrons get some pretty nice perks, including access to a chat with us and fellow Disney Parks fans, and some neat Disneyland Weekly patron-specific swag. Find out more at disneylandweekly.com/support. Thank you to all of our patrons.
Yeah. Well, if you're in the midst of saving for your next Disneyland trip and can't support the show with money, then help us out by sharing Disneyland Weekly on social media or by word of mouth with other Disneyland fans that you know. If you're going to be in the park soon and want to be wearing some Disneyland Weekly swag, head on over to disneylandweekly.com/store to pick some up.
We love seeing reviews on iTunes. Plus, it helps get our ranking better so that more people can find us and join the community. If you want to join in the conversation, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/DisneylandWeekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or by sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. Please feel free to email, Facebook, or tweet us any questions, feedback, or perhaps suggestions that you may have about the show.
We'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.